Ladies and gentlemen,
boys and girls. I always wanted to say that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Freedom Wire, your number one source for patriotic truth. We're the gang. We're here to talk politics and stuff, especially conservative politics. Today, we are going to be talking about President Trump's support and how it is way more than the media likes to portray. We saw this at the national championship game last night. Well, what night?
Monday night.
Monday the
13th.
The 13th. So, if you want to comment, let us know. Do you think that the support for Donald Trump is way bigger than the left likes to make it out to be? Comment below. Also, while you're here, please like the video. Share it if you can. Also, if you haven't subscribed already, please do so and hit the notifications bell. That way you'll know whenever a new episode is up. Also, if you'd like to read and get a little bit further insight into the minds of the people that you see here, please do us a favor and go to freedomwire.com and subscribe to the newsletter. You'll get two mailings a day letting you know what's up in the world of conservative politics. And while you're there and you want this hat, you want, well, this shirt, I think I got on.
Mug.
I don't remember. I think I got Unapologetically
American.
We have
lots of different designs. They're all pretty good.
They can go and find out.
Yeah, I think I have that on.
You don't want to spoil a surprise.
Right. So if you want that, go to the
three different versions of this shirt.
Go to the store tab at the top of the page of freedomwire.com and go ahead and buy one. All right. What is there anything that makes you feel better than hearing a stadium full of thousands, tens of thousands of fans?
Probably 80,000.
Chanting USA.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so that happened last night, or on Monday night, at the national championship game. President Trump and Melania, the first lady, came out in the field, and they started chanting USA, and it was loud, super loud. Matter of fact, it was apparently, there's other videos from the ESPN version that had better audio, and it was even louder. I think a lot of that's a reflection of, obviously, this main gist of this podcast, we're talking about the Trump support, but also shows you that I think a lot of it had to do with the Soleimani, you know, the general killing of the Iranian general, because
Don't call him that. The Iranian terrorist.
No, it's my way.
He's a terrorist.
Yes, I know, but it was my way of saying, because I can't say his name.
So you can say terrorist.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, that it was the killing of a terrorist, obviously, which he obviously was, and that it was a very patriotic moment when Americans unite. Basically, what I'm saying is it justified, you know, America supported his killing of a terrorist, which it goes against the media narrative. They've been trying to spin it, where the American people actually, and the polls bear this out. It's amazing. You kill an enemy of America, Americans respect it.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about how, like, we would never want another 9/11, but we'd love to have that feeling of 9/12.
It was one of those moments, yeah.
That was a little bit, that's a taste.
Right, because it wasn't just the Trump support, it was because of what he did, I believe. A lot of it was because of his taking out that piece of crap.
I mean, you saw people celebrated when Obama was able to oversee taking out bin Laden. It kind of supersedes politics when you're able to...
Yeah, when you take out, whenever evil is vanquished on this planet, it should be celebrated.
I mean,
real evil, not perceived evil, like the left perceives Trump to be evil. I'm talking about real evil. I'm talking about somebody that is responsible for thousands and thousands of innocent lives. And that's what Soleimani is responsible for.
Soleimani.
Well, I mean, look at the reception Trump got at this football game, and then compare it to just a few months ago. He was at a baseball game, and the entire stadium booed him.
Not the entire stadium.
A lot of the stadium.
And look where he was. He was in D.C. Yeah.
But also look at the coverage that got. Like you just pointed out, it wasn't the whole stadium that booed him, but they talked about it as if every single person in that stadium stood up, turned to him at once, and booed just
because
funny. They hate him.
So he was booed at the Nationals game. Mm-hmm. He was booed at the UFC fight, but cheered, booed and cheered.
I would say, because he's got some UFC kind of supporters.
Well, both of those places, liberal havens. D.C. and New York City. Where has he been cheered? Alabama.
That was in New Orleans last night.
Right, right. But remember when he went to
last year's. It was LSU Alabama this game this year in Tuscaloosa.
He went to Tuscaloosa, mm-hmm. got overwhelmingly cheered, and the other night. And
Louisiana
and New Orleans. He got cheered. Like, so it, once you get outside of that liberal bubble, you understand why people can see why Trump is so liked by so many people.
I like that he got booed in D.C. and got cheered in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Because it means he's doing something right.
Right. You know, I read a tweet the other day. It says, the guy said, why do I love Donald Trump? He says, because he makes the people I can't stand angry. Mm-hmm. That's
very true.
That's.
Well, think about it, too. I mean, there's a lot of college students at that game last night. He still got that big of a reception. It's kind of interesting.
I'm wondering if he's going to hit the Super Bowl in Miami.
Football that they've tried to politicize, college that has been politicized for years. That comes together, and there's overwhelming support for Trump. Well, and that just, it flies right in the face of them trying to say that he has no support.
But did you hear?
He's also president of the United States, so clearly he has some.
Here's the question. Did anybody report it? Like, they reported the booing in D.C.?
Well, they did report it, but I saw it being spun as there was an entire stadium full of brainwashed Trump supporters who we were surprised at how many people have fallen for his lies, and that they were making the cheering a negative thing, as though he's this great evil that they see, and he was just welcomed with open arms.
And it makes zero sense. I've been fighting back and forth with liberals, as you guys know, as one of my favorite pastimes, even when I'm not getting paid for it.
Off the clock.
Well, technically, then I'm never off the clock.
It gives you content for when you are off the clock.
But, you know, I'm having this battle with them. I'm like, so that, like, they keep talking about how this was an act of war. It should be illegal that he took out a general for. I go, no, he took out a terrorist for a terrorist organization. That's what he did. Soleimani was on a travel ban. He should not have been outside of the confines of Iran. He was in Iraq. Hence, he was fair game. Hence, he should not have been there. Because why was he there other than to cause trouble?
So what last night it showed also is just an encapsulation of how politically dumb this was to go after Trump on killing a piece of crap terrorist.
Yeah.
I mean, they're idiots. They hate Trump so much. They're blinded by their hatred for him. They don't even... Even politically, they don't.
Well, their whole thing now they're really leaning in on. Well, there needed to be an imminent danger in order to justify this.
Keep bringing it up because we just seen last night what the American people think about. They don't care. He's dead.
I said. Okay, let's say there was no imminent threat. He is still a threat to American lives. He has been a threat. He will be a threat. Whenever we can take him out, we should have done it.
You have a pattern of behavior that shows that, yes, he is a threat to American lives, but also, so what if there's a threat that we just didn't know about, and then more people die? You know immediately they're going to come running out and say, oh, where was Trump? Why was he
right?
Why was he passive? Why wasn't he involved?
And then
this is a proactive step, and they're still criticizing him for it.
The other part of the other side of that coin is they want proof. Like they're like, well, he said they want this proof that there was an imminent threat, and it's like it doesn't like I'm trying to understand what is it that you need this proof of an imminent threat, because here's when it comes down to it. Any threat is on an ongoing threat. If you're an ongoing threat to America, you should be taken out. And then when you go back to Obama and you say, look, he ordered over 2,800 drone strikes. He killed over or almost 4,000 people.
2,800. He ordered 2,800 strikes. I don't know how many people.
Killed almost.
Was it almost
4,000? 3,779, sure. I think. Right. 324 of which were innocent civilians.
That's a low percentage.
Which, look, and that sucks, but collateral damage mm-hmm. is a part of war. But guess what? He did not seek any kind of permission from Congress. He did this in order to keep America safe. And you know what conservatives said when Obama was doing it?
Good job.
All right.
I mean, of course, some of it gets into constitutional stuff because they're American citizens, but they're still pieces of crap. You know, even the ones he killed. I mean, regardless, yeah, exactly. He killed the right people. They were killing the right people.
Well, if you leave America...
And go fight. Yeah, I agree.
And go fight for a terrorist organization and killing Americans, you are no longer an American citizen in my eyes. You are...
Right.
You're an enemy combatant.
You're an enemy combatant.
I'm just getting into the legalese.
You don't get to come back now, which was the case we saw...
No.
With that lady, then where did she move to? Somalia?
I don't remember.
She went to go be ISIS bride.
She wanted to come back, and Trump's like, no.
Nope. Enjoy your time, mm-hmm. you and your baby that you brought into this world.
Yeah, wow.
You know, it's like you choose. People need to understand there are consequences to your choices when you choose incorrectly. And this is one of those, that for her is one of those, but Trump chose correctly in taking Soleimani out. I don't care what anybody says. I don't even care if he would have been in Iran. It would have been a good idea to take this dude out.
Oh, absolutely. So this is kind of our first campaign 2020 kind of edition, because we're talking about Trump support. And I think right now the polls are going up for him. The economy is still incredibly strong, no matter what the Democrats try to tell you. They got this magic trick going. They're trying to say, like, you know, the economy's not working that great for everybody. Things are looking very good for Trump right now, and it's not looking good for the Democrats right now. I mean, this is in January. Things can change. And that kind of last night kind of encapsulates that there's a lot of support out there for Trump, and the media doesn't like it. They won't. They'll just deny it. They just kind of like deny that. They try to make it sound like, you know, it's only the same 35%. You know, you always heard that there's the same that support him, but actually that's not.
He's
been gaining support
among minorities, swing votes,
independents.
He's been,
as you know, decides. I'm sure you guys both know. It's usually what decides the election.
There's plenty of people who are going over to the left side of things, who, you know, want to see him out of office. But we've talked about this before. What he's doing and what all these issues around him are doing, they're sweeping people off the fence, where suddenly people who didn't know or were considering not voting in 2020 are now picking a side. I know people who are conservatives who chose not to vote in 2016 because they didn't like Trump, resoundingly say, I will vote for him in 2020. And they're very strong on that conviction, and that just shows the effect he's having on the voter base.
Well, and as far as his performance as a president, you really can't deny that he's been effective. He's been an effective president, and the left wants to say he's been lucky, but when you look at the people he's got in place in each of the cabinet members and his advisors. He's either the luckiest man on the planet, or he picked the correct people.
And if he has been lucky so far,
then
like why break a bad thing now? Just keep the streak going.
Yeah.
You see, like every time you go to vote on anything, you always see people campaigning, and the question they ask you is, "Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?" And I think most people would answer yes to that question. Mm-hmm. So that kind of shows what he's capable of doing there.
I also think impeachment is doing exactly what we predicted it would do. It's helped him. It's helped him a lot because, first of all, they haven't been able to make the case. That's why they're going through the Senate. They're trying to retry it in the Senate, basically. They're trying to bring out these more witnesses. They haven't made the case. And going back to the independents, independents originally supported impeachment. It's like plummeted. Now only like 30% of them support impeaching the president or support, you know, him being impeached. So it just tells you that it's backfiring, and his approval ratings have gone up in the wake of that, of the impeachment, and in the latest killing of the terrorists.
What's funny is the left says that Trump did this whole Soleimani thing to take the America's
Omar
attention off of the impeachment. Look,
you don't like Trump, but to say that he would cause a war that would kill thousands of people potentially.
Did he stage the storm of the embassy there too?
But let's put it this way.
They're so desperate.
There's nobody that wants this impeachment trial more than the right. We want this impeachment trial.
I want to see Hunter Biden, Joe Biden.
I want to see Hunter, Schiff. Joe Biden, Schiff.
I didn't say Schiff. Schiff.
I want to see them all brought before the Senate.
Fine, not there. Fine, but then we get to, the Republicans get to call them.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah,
and that's why they're so reluctant to start the Senate trial, because they know that's exactly what's going to happen. And
yeah,
until see, the Republicans, they're eager to get it over with.
Not only do we want it to get it over with, we want it to happen. Why? Because we want the crap that went on behind closed doors in darkness to be brought to the light. Because what this is going to do, it's going to vindicate Trump even more. And that's why Nancy Pelosi has not brought the articles over, because she knows it's going to boost Trump up even more.
Well, and the reason bringing Hunter and Joe Biden into this is important is not just, you know, whatever the Democrats will say, political, they're just trying to hit. No, because it'll show that Trump had a legitimate reason to ask them to look into the Bidens. I mean, I sent you that chart there from that political report. If that's not corruption, I don't know what is. If the political did a report a couple months back.
Oh, that's terrible. It's terrible.
What the Biden?
Not only Hunter,
but his
brother.
Yeah, his brother, and then actually they tried to get Bowen, but he said no. He's pretty up. He's like, no, I don't want any part of what you guys are doing. So that should tell you something right there. So these guys, wherever Joe Biden went in his career, his son followed with a job.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Literally. So what? So
kind of like.
So why wouldn't Trump ask the Ukrainian president to look into that, given that history that we knew about Hunter and Joe Biden?
Kind of like Chelsea Clinton making $9 million straight out of college on the board of
the internet provider.
Are you serious?
Yeah, with all her skills.
Yeah. How many skills?
Oh, she just the guy that owns the company just happens to be good friends with Hillary. Which, by the way, does Hillary have friends anyway?
If they're going to decide that that's okay, then they need to lay off the Trump kids for, you know, their positions in the business and their role in government stuff. Because if nepotism is fine, then all of it is fine.
But and at least, and the only one that's really involved in the government is Ivanka. And she, more than the other two, has proven herself in business. She's run her own brand. She's run her own businesses. She's successful wherever she goes. She was a successful model, and she's incredibly smart. Why wouldn't you want Ivanka Trump anywhere? Like,
you saw the Trump kids; they were already in positions of being successful before Trump became president.
And if I know Trump, like, not that I don't know Trump, I guarantee you, he just didn't like hand them the keys of the castle. Mm-hmm. Like, I guarantee you, they had to earn something. They had to work for what they were doing.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, you've heard stories like that. They basically have said that. Yeah, I mean, and I don't blame Trump for having Ivanka and Jared in his administration, because who else? He needs somebody to trust.
But he hates Jews.
Right, exactly. They're both Jews. His daughter, his own daughter. God, people are so.
He hates Jews, but his anti-Semitism act will hurt Jewish people, and it's racist to say that we need to stop anti-Semitism.
Yeah, it's crap. He's also the biggest supporter of Israel we've ever had in the Oval Office. So whatever. He actually moved the embassy to Jerusalem. So
yeah, it's That's not about Jews. That's about Zionism.
Okay. Oh yeah, that should tell you something. If somebody's telling you that right there. Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. But just looking at it from he has like nobody to trust in D.C. He should have somebody around him like that.
Yeah,
that he can confide in.
But what's funny is it's amazing. Like, what is amazing to me about Trump? Because I, like everybody, I had reservations going in. I voted for him, but I had reservations going in. I'm like, what's this guy gonna do? I looked at it as an experiment, an American experiment as to what can happen to our American political system when you put in somebody that knows how to not only work crowds, but has made his bones in business and made it during the 70s and 80s.
In the low times in New York City.
And New York City. Mm-hmm. To say I've been more than pleasantly surprised would be an understatement.
Right. Well, even at the convention we covered there a couple weeks ago, the Turning Point, I remember I was talking to some, you know, diehard Trump supporters. And I'm saying, I'm not going to BS you. I was not a fan at first. I really wasn't. I'm not going to sit here and tell everybody else that either. I was not a fan at first, and I was very skeptical because he had supported Democrats, too, throughout his life. Of course, we know why. For business reasons, he was honest about it. And he's really proven not only to be an effective president, he's also been very conservative on a lot of issues. And that surprised me a little bit. I was a little bit surprised by that. I didn't know, you know, but he's also pragmatist, but he's been able to get through. I mean, look how many, just on regulation alone.
Okay, well, think about this.
There's so many, and he's cut, and that's why they don't like him in DC, because he's taken away a lot of the power of the bureaucracy.
Can you imagine what could have been done, or how far we'd be right now if they decided to work with him rather than against him?
And he would. That's what cracks me up. They don't understand. They hate him so much. They don't understand. He is, his whole life, he's dealt with people he doesn't like or doesn't necessarily get along with.
That's why it's called the art of the deal.
He knows how to work with people.
Not the art of the walk away from the negotiation table.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You see, we were all in the same boat in 2016, because I also voted for him, but I wasn't super enthusiastic about it. That was the first election I had ever been able to vote in. I was really excited to be politically involved, and then they made me choose between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and I wasn't super thrilled about it at the time, so of course I voted for him because it was better than having Hillary as president. Now I'm more comfortable with my decision that I made back then.
Yeah, I won't be able to connect those lines fast enough this time.
Oh, I'm on board for it. You know? Yeah. Let's see what 4 more years gives us. I don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm willing to put up with some of the stuff I don't like because he's delivering. I mean, he said, at the end of the day, they're just tweets. I mean, really, he does say some stuff I don't agree with, but whatever.
Yeah, we've said it behind closed doors.
Yeah.
He's not an intellectual. I don't care. I don't need my president to be intellectual. I need him to be effective.
Well, we had a conversation this morning here in the newsroom, and we had a conversation in the newsroom. We're talking about how they'll call Trump like dumb and lazy. I'm like, first of all, the lazy thing is absurd. The guy is up before the crack of dawn every day. You can tell by looking at his Twitter feed, by the way. It's 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning. He's already up working. The second thing is, just because he's not like great with grammar, he's not an intellectual, whatever, doesn't mean he's not a smart guy. You don't become a multi-billionaire public personality who becomes president of the United States by being dumb. It's just a joke of it. And of course, and they also do that to every Republican president. It's not just Trump.
And all these cracks against him, or like against his intelligence, prove how ridiculous they are. Because on the one hand, they're trying to tell you, Trump is the dumbest person who has ever inhabited the White House. He is an idiot who is just bumbling his way through the job, and he's going to wind us up in a war accidentally because he doesn't know up from down. And at the same time, they're also trying to tell you he was smart enough to carry out a drone strike to start a war to distract from impeachment, that he got started with the corruption investigation just to get dirt on a political opponent because he's in Putin's pocket, working with the Koreans and all this stuff. They try to tie it together. So Trump is either so smart that he is able to pull off international conspiracies, but he's also so dumb that he can't get anything done properly. So they need to kind of figure out which narrative they're going.
They're not going to. They can't pick a narrative. As long as whatever he does, it's kind of, if he became a Mensa member, they'd say he cheated on the test. If anything that paints him in a positive light, they're going to be against, and they're going to come up with a theory of some kind that disproves whatever he's done. And I just don't even understand it. I don't understand why they hate this man so much.
Especially before he became president, because given his past political statements, you think they would be more in line with the guy.
Well, and people used to love Donald Trump.
Oh yeah, we talked about that too. Like before you, I mean, gosh, they're on their knees like a dog.
I would
Mitt Romney won his endorsement. He was on his knees like a dog.
I would, and not only that, I don't even mean politically. I mean the American people. Think about how successful the Apprentice was. How many millions of people were watching that show?
Yeah.
So I got news for you. They weren't conservatives.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Well, they
weren't all conservatives.
Yeah, very public appeal.
Yeah. Look at all the late night guys and celebrities treat him too. They love, kiss his butt every time he was on. They love the guy.
He's
now he's Republican.
And I hear he's fun. He's a fun guy to hang out with, like to talk to.
No. Some of it's the Donald. It's the showman. But behind, I've heard everybody says one on one. Matter of fact, He's also very engaging. I've heard, reading different art, he asks a lot of questions of people. Like, he actually does want to know people's input.
That's how you learn things, is you ask questions.
So he's not some smarmy intellectual who, has a bunch of advanced degrees and is a genius on paper, but he's a smart guy who knows what he's doing.
Yeah, smart comes out in different forms.
Yeah, them trying to tell you that, he's an idiot, It's because they have clearly never bothered to have a conversation with him.
Yeah, he's an idiot that's going to be here for another 5 years.
At least he's not an idiot that would say, well, Donald, at least I will go down as a president and drop the phone.
Yeah.
Remember that on Obama with mean tweets?
Oh, yeah. Whatever, you know, he'll be here another 5 years, so we get to hear more of this. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun 5 years.
You know, that was
years.
My favorite thing, even when I wasn't, like, a huge fan of his. Like, I'm like, when he won that night, I was, like, watching the left just literally lose
Rachel
their mind.
Maddow cried.
Oh, I was like, this is so worth it.
When Trump walked out on stage for the first time to the sounds of the Rolling Stones playing You Can't Always Get What You Want, and cemented that moment in history as one of the... best
trolls ever.
Best trolls at an acceptance speech ever. That was pretty great.
And yeah. Hillary Clinton will never be president.
Well, you never know. She might jump in.
Oh yeah, because many many people want her to.
I would.
Many voices in her head are telling her to jump into the race.
Yes.
Please, material, Hillary. Please, please, we're on.
Make it happen.
I wrote an article a couple months ago called "All I Want for Christmas Was This Hillary Clinton Run for President."
We're still waiting, but we have the hope.
Santa, you were a bad boy. You didn't get what
I didn't get. I got
what you wanted from Santa. You got coal.
Not yet. Maybe.
And those coal emissions are.
You
got coal emissions in your stocking this year.
Maybe she got lost in the mail.
All right, I think that's a good place to end it. Let us know if you liked what you heard. Please comment below. What is your favorite Trump moment? Trump making the leftists cry. Let us know below. Also, like the video, share the video. If you haven't already, please subscribe and hit the notifications bell. That way you know whenever a new episode is up. Also, if you want 15 ounces...
Goblet of Freedom.
...of freedom... or a hat, a shirt, or you want to get into deeper into our brains,
oh boy.
Please go to freedomwire.com. Subscribe to the newsletter, as well as buy some stuff in the store tab at the top of the page. This stuff ain't free, and it ain't cheap. So help us keep you informed.
What are we, PBS now?
I don't know. Hey.
Contributions hey, look. From viewers like you.
Maybe we should start a Patreon. I don't know. Maybe we will. You guys have anything else you would like to add?
No, I can't wait to watch the next Democratic debate. Can you guys wait for this? Tune in next podcast. Yes.
Well, I'm going to D.C. tomorrow. So
okay.
I'll be right in the right the center of the hive of Stoneman-ville.
You're in the eye. Yeah, you're going to be in Mos Eisley.
Exactly.
The Mos Eisley of the United States. That being said, as always, we'll see you next time, and stay free, America.